May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning's lessons all have something in common, don't they? Well, actually, they have several somethings in common. On the surface, which is a good place to start, they all talk about rejoicing and about a life that is better now than it used to be. And that would be enough for a sermon all by itself. But I'd like to focus on a deeper level than just the surface and look at the idea of sorrow coming before joy and how five words about a cloak might just be the key to what ties these readings together on a deeper level. Jeremiah and the psalm both talk about the idea of rejoicing after sorrow. Notice that in the psalm, the Lord is restoring the fortunes of Zion. Those fortunes have been lost, and the people are in mourning. But then, look, the Lord does great things for the people, and they are glad indeed. Sorrow has been turned into joy, and laughter rings out through the land. So much so that even the neighbors in other nations realize that life has changed for the people of Israel. Bear in mind, though, that the sorrow came first. Jeremiah gives us the same message, doesn't he? The people who are now lost will be saved, even those who are blind and orphaned. The lowest of the low in society, they will be gathered from their exile and given a smoother path to walk. Those who were weeping will be consoled, and they will no longer have to worry about stumbling along, lost in someone else's land. Once again, joy will replace sorrow. It's hard to think about having sorrow before we have joy, and we are often fortunate enough to have the joy without the sorrow. They don't always have to go together. But these readings definitely tell us that the people are rejoicing because they have suffered, and now life is better. Perhaps they wouldn't feel nearly as much gladness if they hadn't known the sorrow. As someone famous once said, you wouldn't know what light was if there were no darkness for contrast. And Mark's gospel brings home that point with a man who is literally living in darkness. Bartimaeus is a blind beggar, and one who apparently was not born that way, since he asks to regain his sight. And so he is a total outcast, because the Israelites believed that someone who lost his sight must be a vile sinner to have been so punished by God. So Bartimaeus would have been very used to blows and abuse and scorn. He would have been not a person, but an object lesson, and his only purpose in life would have been to make the others around him feel better that they were not as bad as he is, and to be the recipient of charity that again would make others feel better about themselves. How daring then for Bartimaeus to cry out to Jesus for help? How dare he? How dare he interrupt his betters? How dare he push himself forward and come to the notice of the teacher? How dare he indeed? I think he dares for two reasons. He dares because he has nothing to lose and everything to gain. And he dares because he has so much faith that he knows that Jesus can give him what he desires. He refuses to shut up when he's told to do so because of his gift of faith. Bartimaeus sees more clearly with the eyes of faith than the people around him do with their physical eyes. And so he asks Jesus for mercy, and Jesus gives it to him. Now, this would be great if we just stopped there. It's a wonderful story about faith making you well on a number of levels. But there's a subtext going on here that is not often talked about, but is well worth exploring. One that was hinted at our collect, where we asked for the gifts of faith, hope, and charity to be increased in our lives. And the subtext is that often, before we can move from sorrow into joy, we have to ask for what we need, just like Bartimaeus asked for mercy and healing. And we find this subtext in the other lessons as well. How many psalms in the Bible cry out to God for mercy before Zion's fortunes are restored? How many of the prophets beg for the people's lives to be changed? God stands ready to give us what we need. And God, in God's graciousness, will give us more than we could ever ask or imagine. But it's important for us to ask anyway, if only because we acknowledge in the asking that we are not in control, and that we depend on God at every stage in our lives. Jesus made the first move by offering himself for us, but having made the first move, he also waits for us to do our part. And I wonder if, in fact, that isn't part of the reason why Jesus heals Bartimaeus. Because unlike many of us, Bartimaeus dares to say out loud that he has needs. He says, "My teacher, let me see again," voicing his needs in front of God and everyone, even though everyone already knows what his problems are. He asks, and he receives from Jesus not only his sight, but also the chance at a new life, one we hope is more full of laughter and joy, rather than sorrow and scorn from his neighbors. Now, I will be the first to confess that this makes me uneasy because, like many people, I don't want to appear vulnerable. It's not that I want to appear perfect. I know I'm not perfect, and quite frankly, I don't want to carry around that burden. But when we admit that we're vulnerable, when we say we have needs and we're not capable of doing everything for ourselves, then we open ourselves up to being hurt. And if you've been on earth for any length of time, you have been hurt in just that way. You tell a trusted friend your inmost secret, and then it's splashed all over Facebook. You tell your boss that you really can't handle job X right now, and sure enough, that's the job you get. You say that something makes you afraid and your brothers and sisters just pick at you on that topic for what seems like forever. And when that happens too many times, it can lead to our turning away from others and saying, "Fine, if showing you what I need will allow you to hurt me, then you're never going to see that part of me again." We put on cloaks to cover our nakedness. We build barriers and defenses and walls. And those barriers and defenses can, in fact, keep us from getting hurt again. But they also prevent us from living fully, from engaging in the full scope of life that swirls around us. Instead, we stand at the side of the road, huddled in our cloaks, watching the parade pass by because we don't dare to ask to join in. And this leads me back to those five words about the cloak that I promised you at the beginning of the sermon, the thing that I think ties all these lessons together. The gospel says, "So, throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus goes to Jesus." Bartimaeus not only asked for what he needed, he revealed everything about himself when he did so. He threw off his cloak and stood revealed to the world, all of his imperfections and all of his faith in full view. You might say that in throwing off his cloak, he was throwing off all of his sorrow, all of his past, throwing away everything that separated him from the others in order to fully accept whatever was coming at him. And all these lessons are asking us to do the same. In order to be who God means us to be, in order to be restored into right relationship with God and with each other, we have to throw off the cloaks that hide our imperfections and our needs. Like Bartimaeus, we have to be willing to reveal ourselves to the people standing around us, regardless of what they may think. And we need to be able to articulate what we need. It's hard to imagine what our lives would be like without that concealing cloak. And we're all human, so we all have something to hide beneath that cloak. But if we are to live fully into our baptismal covenant, if we are to embrace the new life that Jesus offers us, then we have to throw off our cloaks and tear down our walls. Bartimaeus was able to do it. The people in the Psalm and in Jeremiah were able to do it too, at least in a metaphorical sense. They could have chosen to stay in their sorrow, even when it looked like a better life was being offered to them. Staying in the safe place rather than going someplace new and different. There's a lot to be said for not taking risks, because the risk of improving your life also carries with it the risk of losing everything you've got. The temptation to stay in our cloaks is always there. It's scary to think about living lives that are this open and this vulnerable. We know we're going to get burned if we live this way. But we also know that our lives will be fuller and richer than we ever thought possible if we dare to admit our needs for acceptance or forgiveness or healing or whatever, and then dare to ask for what we need. Our lives will not, of course, magically become perfect. There still will be sorrow as well as joy. There still will be times of mourning as well as times of celebration. Our lives will still be messy and complex because we are still human beings. But our blindness will be cured. Our gifts will be increased. We will be given what we need, even if we don't realize it at the time. Even if we think we've exposed ourselves for no good reason. May we all dare, like Bartimaeus, to take off our cloaks and ask for what we need, knowing that God rejoices in our asking and delights in providing for us. And may we also all rejoice in the bounty that comes to us when we have the faith to ask. Amen.